All right. So, first question is if you would please introduce yourself and spell your name for the record.
Okay, I am Jessica DeRozier, JessicaDeRozier.
And then some basic demographic information, if you are willing to share as far as name, job title, how you identify.
I usually go by Jess. I work at two places now. I work at Freightert as a surgical tech level two in the Eye Institute. And then I also went back to Versiti at the Blood Center. I work as a specialist tissue procurement. And I identify as a female. That's
So, first question, how are you doing? Seems like a
Well,
simple question, and I know it can be loaded.
it is. Well, I'm doing okay at the moment. I had a rough semester. Everyone's had a rough year, but my semester was particularly straining. My son is going through puberty. We just got a new puppy. I don't know what I'm doing in chemistry, and I have to pass that class, so that's not good. And my job just keeps expecting more and more hours out of me, so it's been tough.
So, would you say, do you think your experience during the pandemic is different from others, is unique?
I would say so. I mean, there's a lot of parents that had children at home during the pandemic that normally didn't. I had my daughter alongside me doing her college courses on her computer while I was doing my college courses on my computer. And then there was my son on his computer doing his elementary school. So that was kind of an interesting dynamic, It was very disappointing for my daughter not to be able to go to California where she was intending to go to college. So that was a bit of a bummer, but it worked out kind of nice that she was able to stay around, and she's kind of changed her plans a bit as COVID has kind of realigned everyone's life. I would say it was a different experience. Also with the temporary disability I had with my knee, not being able to have my surgery because of COVID, I was stuck off of work for an extended period of time. So that made, during the beginning of the quarantine, I was off of work and not really able to do much walking anyways because my knee was really in bad shape. So I was kind of already quarantining before we had to quarantine. So I think my situation is probably different that way, that, financially it was a little scarier because I wasn't working and there was no idea when I'd be able to have my surgery, which I needed to return to work. So, finances were scarce. School, was so important. And it seemed like, well, now I have ample time to do all my classes, but I was so stressed out and preoccupied with everything else that I wasn't more successful as a student, even though I had more time. So it was not great.
What do you think about the experience would be universal, or is there anything kind of universal that you would think from conversations with other people that has just kind of been across the board that you've noticed or had to?
Definitely with other parents that I've talked to that experienced having the kids home and trying to help them through the online learning process, that took up a considerable amount more of their time and stressed them out. Having the kids home all the time, having to do their normal workload on top of helping kids with school. Get out of here, Max. Go in your room. I said I'm doing something and you're interrupting. Sorry, I'm cooking dinner and trying to shoo my kid out of here. So I think, yeah, just across the board, it was like having to do more work than usual. And it just thoroughly stressed people out and sucked.
What is something that you have done to survive, escape, endure, maybe guilty pleasure, new habits you've picked up that you found that have helped?
Well, we, because my son was in fourth grade last year, he got a free national parks pass. So after like this, you know, the serious lockdowns in the summer, last summer, toward the middle to end of summer, we took his national park pass and we just went on a road trip and we stayed in, you know, middle of nowhere hotels and didn't really interact with people. We just traveled to the national park. So we were outdoors a lot and we didn't see hardly anybody. You know, we wore our masks, and even in states that didn't have mask mandates, you know, we just went into the gas station to get food and go to the bathroom and traveled on to the next. So we hit like almost a dozen national landmarks and national parks. And that was amazing. So that kind of helped bring our sanity, even though it was spending more time together and cooped up in a smaller space, because of like the wide open spaces that we were experiencing, that kind of helped remind us that, you know, this world is so much more immense than what's going on right now. You know, seeing the geology in Utah, you know, with these huge, you know, arches and stones that have been there for hundreds of thousands of years and millions of years. And so that kind of helped bring us, we got to see Dinosaur National Monument and see dinosaur fossils. Just, it was really cool. So that kind of helped bring us out of the funk. My daughter went to college. She ended up moving out in January. So now it's just me and Max here. So we're kind of spending a bit more time bonding and talking more. And so I just feel like we overall made it through, I think we overall made it through easier than most people, given that, you know, we have been through some kind of rough times together as a family. And this didn't affect us as severely because of that. Like, yeah, it was a drag having to be stuck at home all the time and doing everything differently. But for us, it was kind of like, well, we've had worse happen. So this was just kind of like, well, here we go again. One more thing.
Were there any, I know this sounds kind of silly, but was there like a guilty pleasure, like TV show or movie or book or a new kind of wine that you discovered, or like anything like along those lines that you think would have been like, if it hadn't been for the pandemic, you might not have.
Oh, okay. So I went a couple years without having an actual bedroom for myself, because I, you know, wasn't making enough money to afford a 3-bedroom, and I made the kids, you know, have their safe spaces and bedrooms. So I would often sleep on the couch for a couple years. This place that we're in now is a 3-bedroom. And so I have my own bedroom, and I took to finally decorating it in my like true hippie nature. And I finally did all the stars on my ceiling, like hundreds of glow in the dark stars. And I've got my black light set up and I've got all these cool trippy posters, and it's amazing. And I have this super comfy bed. I set up my old queen bed frame and actually went to Bob's Discount Furniture and got a headboard and footboard that are super like fancy, like Victorian iron rod, whatever, that just look awesome. So I did my bedroom and I love it. It is like my safe space now. I got all these pillows from Target. So like I just lay on a bed of pillows and love every minute of it.
That's awesome.
So yeah, definitely the bedroom was my guilty pleasure.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you had mentioned that even when you guys were traveling in states that didn't have mandates, you know, masks have been super, it's become less of a health thing and more of a politicalized thing. Where do you kind of come down on wear the mask, not wear the mask? That kind of,
it doesn't bother me to put a mask on, I think, as much as most people, because I work in surgery. So we wear masks all day, every day. I have been vaccinated with both the COVID shots. So I do feel like at some point, I'm hoping that means that, you know, I don't have to wear the mask when I, you know, go and do things and go into stores, but I'm not one of those people that's very upset about having to wear one. And, you know, if it's general consensus is it's good for all of us to wear a mask, then I'm going to wear a mask. You know, I mean, just because I'm vaccinated doesn't necessarily mean I can't be a carrier and, you know, give it to somebody else. So I definitely, I think for the good of all, you know, we should all just kind of go along with it as much as we can. I know some people are definitely really against it and they feel like it limits them in some way. But it doesn't really bother me.
So you'd kind of mentioned that your daughter not being able to move out to California right away for school. Is there anything else that has been delayed? Well, and then I guess your surgery, but anything else that had really been delayed because of the pandemic for you guys? Like school-wise or anything like that?
No, I kept trucking along with my school. Because of public schools being all virtual for like the whole year, I did end up taking Max out of public school and putting him in private school. He just was not, he was not being challenged whatsoever in the virtual school setting. The amount of time that it took the teacher to get all the kids on the same page, he was already, you know, sitting there bored for 20 minutes waiting for them all to catch up. So even his advanced math classes he was in were not stimulating him at all. So me and his grandparents both kind of or all sat down and talked about it like, yeah, this is really not well. And obviously all these other families are in the same predicament, but his grandparents fortunately were financially in a situation where they could say, hey, let's get him into private school because private schools are going full time right now. So Max luckily only had to sit out. I think it was like he missed like three months where he was doing the virtual school. And then the rest of the time he's been in full attending. And that's been going really good. I noticed a big difference between private and public education at the grade school level, definitely. So that was one change, something I probably wouldn't have chosen for him to put him in private school. But because of the pandemic, we were kind of backed up against a wall and I didn't want him to get stagnant in his learning. You know, he wasn't progressing and he was getting really bored. And you know how it is when you get bored of something, it's hard to get that momentum back, you know, and I didn't want him to go back to school in person and just be like, ugh, now there's all this work I have to do. I don't want to do this work and just kind of, you know, be bored with school and sick of school in general. So I think that was a good move getting him in private school to keep him thinking and advancing. But now we're in this dilemma of, well, do we put him back in public school? Now he's probably a year ahead of all the other kids in his grade. Would that be the same situation all over again where he's bored and everyone's got to catch up? So that's kind of been a lot to think about. Like, well, now we kind of have to keep him in private school. And is that the best thing for him? He's not too happy about it because he was looking forward to middle school where all his friends from all the different elementary schools come together and having all his friends under one roof. So now it's like kind of a hard sell to him, like, oh, you're going to stay in private school. And then puberty happened and that's been fun. So yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy couple of years.
Well, and then how long was your surgery delayed for your knee because of that? Because you said that was
four or five months. Because it was supposed to be in February. I didn't have it till June or July. July, I think. So yeah, it was delayed so long that my short-term disability ran out. And so I wasn't getting an income. I couldn't go back to work. So that really sucked. And long-term disability denied me because they said it was a pre-existing condition because I have had these knee surgeries before. So then I was trying to fight with the long-term disability people. It was just such a nightmare. So I didn't have income coming in for those like three months after short-term ran out. So that was nuts. Oh, shit.
Is there anything that has sped up in your life because of the pandemic?
I'm sorry, what? Anything that has been...
Anything that has sped up. Like plans or, you know, were you able to get in more classes? Anything that was able to...
Well, it didn't really... I never stopped taking classes, and that was one thing that I was kind of proud of. Like, I know a lot of kids decided not to go to college that graduated high school because of COVID, and a lot of kids stopped going to college because of all the shutdowns and all the issues associated with it. So I feel like I could have been in a worse situation, like, had I gone out of school. So I don't know, nothing really else accelerated much. I mean, obviously I kind of decorated my house a little bit more. I paid more attention to like the littler details of things that I'm normally too busy to notice, but being at home all the time, like, oh gosh, I got to get some curtains up. We've been living here 2.5 years. I have no curtains on my windows. So I went and got curtains and, like, you know, so I guess my interior decorating accelerated a bit. My school didn't really suffer too much. I mean, this chemistry thing is, I think, completely in a non-related factor to COVID. It's just my own brain doesn't want to absorb that knowledge.
The organic chemistry?
No, just Chem 102. Like, I just cannot balance equations to save my life.
So would you say that one of the silver linings from the pandemic is you being able to, kind of like you said, focus on the little things, like around the house, like putting up curtains, yeah, stuff like
definitely.
That?
Definitely. Definitely. And slow down a bit too. You know, I was really going at a very, very fast pace, always running from job to school, eating very unhealthy. COVID definitely made it so I was preparing a lot more meals at home, and that kind of helped me lose some weight. I started an exercise routine. You know, I was able to just slow down enough to focus on making little changes and implementing them for a long enough period of time to make them habits, you know, keeping the house in more order and making it look nicer, keeping my physical health more of a priority and what my diet is. Because normally I was always running between class and work, so I would just have enough time to grab and go eat things. And then having all my classes online, I'm able to sit here and cook a nice meal for us while I'm still attending my classes. So saved a lot of gas money. That was a saving grace issue. Because, like, not having the income, if I were going to class, it would have been a nightmare. All the gas.
If you could go back to March of 2020, what would you tell yourself? Or what advice would you give yourself about the coming year?
I guess initially I was a bit afraid more than, you know, now. Obviously, we've kind of all grown accustomed to this, living with this pandemic. But I was definitely afraid for my kids, because having a senior in high school and then a freshman in college during this pandemic, you know, she was not trying to hear, you know, don't go to this party, don't go to all these people's houses, don't go shopping, don't go here with that, you know, keep your circle small. And, you know, young kids are just not getting that. And, you know, it was easier to keep my son at home and occupied with his video games. But, like, my daughter was like, I'm an adult now. I graduated high school. I want to go see my friends. You know, so that was worrisome. Like, you know, and she did get COVID. Her boyfriend on track got it. His whole team got sick. But she wasn't really very sick with it. And Max and I never got it. She lived at home with us at the time. And so it's a weird thing. But, yeah, I guess would just not be so scared. And stock up on Lysol. My God, it was months before I could find a can of Lysol anywhere. And now I always have like 2 cans in my house because I need Lysol. That's how I clean my bathroom and various other disgusting things my son makes. And not having Lysol was like, ugh, I'm living like a savage.
What do you think is, what has frustrated you most about the pandemic? do you think?
I think seeing people's overreactions has been the most frustrating thing, to see the political divides and to see some very angry, hateful things coming out of people that I didn't expect. You know, I think this pandemic and this political atmosphere has really brought to a head a lot of people's strong attitudes and belief towards certain things. And you don't realize how people feel until they're all sharing news articles and sharing mantras, and you're like, whoa, I did not know you felt that way. Like, we're friends, and I just assumed we felt the same way. And now it's like, wow, you are radically different than what I thought. So I think that's the most frustrating thing, is realizing just how much anger and hatred people are quick to respond with, in very minimally invasive situations, like this whole mask, the anti-maskers that get livid and irate about, you know, and people killing each other over not wanting to wear a mask in public. Like, that's insane. Like, clearly there's got to be mental health underlying issues, but it's really frustrating to see that, you know, this is the world we live in. And I think that's more scary than this pandemic, is realizing all that hate and anger is still there. It didn't go anywhere. And now those people are going to start slinking back into normal patterns and routines, and you're not going to see it on the surface anymore, but you know it's there, like, just hidden. That's troublesome.
How did you guys spend birthdays and holidays differently, or did they change for you guys during the pandemic? How so?
Well, we didn't do big family gatherings. We stuck to just our household members for like Easter. Thanksgiving we did spend with my in-laws, so that was one other household. We went up to their house, their lake house, and they lived up north. And, you know, there was like, at that time, I think 2 COVID cases by them. And we had been kind of quarantining the week before anyways, and hadn't been around anybody and didn't feel sick. So we felt comfortable going up by them for Thanksgiving. And then Christmas, my mom came over and my daughter's boyfriend, and that was it. So we definitely didn't have like the normal family get-togethers, but our family had kind of slowed down on the big family get-togethers anyways. My grandparents are in their 90s now, and they don't want to do holidays anymore. They both have dementia and whatnot. And so our family was kind of already slinking away from not doing big family parties anyways. So it wasn't too huge, you know, COVID didn't ruin that for us. Although normally with my in-laws, we would do a big, their family does a big Christmas party every year and Thanksgiving party, but they didn't do that this year, obviously, or last.
When did you, this might be a unique answer with you being in healthcare, but when did you first learn about Corona? And do you actually remember the moment that it was going to be, you realized it was going to be big? I guess that's kind of 2 distinct questions. So like, when did you first learn about the coronavirus?
Well, I kind of, it's really weird. I've always kind of been like one of those doomsday preppers. So I've kind of, you know, subscribed to different, organizations, and they're pretty out there with some of their thinking and their planning and everything. But I do have like bug out packs for me and the kids and emergency supplies should we ever get stuck at home. So we were well prepared for something like this to happen food wise and, you know, everything. I had, even just before this hit the US, had purchased gas masks for all of us. But I realized that it was a big to do when probably Italy, when things got as bad as they did in Italy, I was like, oh, this is coming to the US. And everybody in Italy was just panicking and everything was shutting down. And I was like, oh, it's definitely going to come here next, because all the world traveling, you know, it is only a matter of time. I know how, you know, viruses and bacteria work, and, you know, being, like you said, in healthcare and being in science and college, and, you know, and flat out one of my professors, our last day of lecture was like, cause I was taking BioSci 150. He was like, this is going to be big. And, you know, he's like, guard your health. It's the most valuable asset you have. And he showed us like kind of the projections, you know, because that was back when everyone was like, oh, it's fine. It's not going to be a big deal. You know, it's not going to come to the US. We're shutting down borders and whatnot. And it's like, you don't understand how small viruses are and how easily spread they are. And, you know, other countries had already, like countries in Asia have already adopted masks wearing as a normal thing. And here we don't do that. So like, of course it's going to spread like wildfire. And so I think I kind of knew when Italy hit, which was kind of before it became real big here in the US, but also, before it got big here in Wisconsin, my grandmother got COVID back in the beginning of February. And she was very sick. We had a priest come. We thought she had pneumonia. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She just wanted to die in peace at home. She's 92, so she's got a DNR. So we had to just abide by her wishes. And she was deathly ill. She was so weak. She was hallucinating. She wouldn't eat or drink hardly anything. We were giving her breathing treatments just to help her get out of bed. And so we had the priest come and administer final rites because we thought that was it. But she did pull through it. But then before the healthcare team would come back in to care for my grandfather who has dementia, they said we had to take her to get a COVID test. So we had to bring my sick ass grandma out to a COVID testing station. And sure enough, she had COVID. And this was back, she was probably one of the first registered cases here in South Milwaukee. We have no idea how my homebound grandma got it. But like that to me was like, oh shit, she hasn't even left her house in 2 years and she got COVID, you know, just from somebody coming in her home and bringing it. So, and there's only a handful of people. I can count on one hand the people that go into my grandparents' home. So I was like, holy crap, this is a big deal. And so that was last February. So I've been kind of, and then I was, you know, really freaking out, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I have asthma, my son has asthma, you know, if we get it, all these people are getting really terribly sick. It was pretty scary for a little while there. For sure.
What do you hope changes because of the pandemic?
I mean, it's a big ask, but I just hope that we have more people in positions of power, political wise or, you know, influencer wise, that use their platforms for the good of all humanity and encourage more empathy and, you know, doing things not only for yourself, but for your fellow man, i.e. wearing masks, washing your hands, staying home when you're sick, being more accountable for your own self and recognizing that your lack of accountability has a negative influence on other people. You know, I would like to see that come of this, you know, that even if you don't necessarily believe it's as serious as it is, or you're not afraid of it, understand that there's a large population of people that are, and that are, you know, immunocompromised or that are terrified right now and staying at home for months at a crack. Like, I still know people that barely go out at all. Like, if it's been over a year, you know, they don't leave their houses really. They order everything online. I mean, this has dramatically changed so many people's daily lives.
Do you think, is there anything that you would hope would stay common practice that has been adapted?
Definitely the hand washing thing. I think, I've always been big on hand sanitizing and hand washing because I work in healthcare and I've raised my kids the same way. We always washed our hands after we left a grocery store anyways. I always keep hand sanitizer in my car. So that really wasn't a big thing, like a change for us. The wearing a mask thing was different for us. But, you know, now not having experienced the normal seasonal colds and flus that, you know, we get, I think this is a good thing, you know. Maybe there'll come a time when we don't need our annual flu vaccines. Because right now, working in healthcare, it's mandated that I get a flu vaccine. And they've already told us at Freightert that probably next year, the COVID vaccine will also be mandated. So we'll have to every year get a COVID vaccine and every year get a flu vaccine. And, you know, that's, I've gotten a flu vaccine for over the last 2 decades that I've worked in healthcare. You know, and adding another injection to that. And literally they tell you, if you refuse to get this vaccine, if you don't have it done by, I think it's usually like mid-October, you have to hand in your 2 weeks notice. You have to resign your position unless you have a doctor's excuse that you have an allergy or if you have a religious objection. Those are the only reasons. Otherwise, you have to quit your job. We don't want you here. And that's what it's going to come down to with the COVID vaccine next year, I think. They've already kind of hinted toward it. At first, they were like, oh, we're not going to make anyone get the COVID vaccine. And then they're like, oh, next year we probably will. So, yeah.
Crazy. Well, and they've talked about the COVID passports.
Yes.
Any yeah. thoughts on that? Like, well, that kind of coming from the...
I think... they should have thought about that before they started handing out these little paper cards. I think those are far too easy to forge. I think they're far too easy to lose, you know? And I just feel like so many people are going to be forging them anyway. So it seems like a silly kind of thing to expect, because there are so many people against this vaccine that they're going to go through great lengths just to not get it. And I feel like pretending they have got it is definitely going to be in their tool bag by getting a fake card, which only opens a new avenue for, you know, counterfeiters and people to do illegal things. You know, it's just like, all around, I don't think it's a great idea. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. That would be important to make people understand that this is something we should all do just to get over this damn pandemic. But I don't think it's in practice going to work as good as they think it will.
Better in theory than in practice.
Yeah, right.
Is there anything? So I know you said that you have gotten your vaccine, and that was there anything in particular you were looking forward to doing once you had gotten your vaccine and you were feeling, like you said, you're feeling a bit more comfortable about yourself?
Yeah, definitely visiting with my grandparents. I used to do lunch with them a lot. I used to take my grandma to church, you know, but after grandma got that deathly ill, I thought, man, I would feel awful if I brought something to them and they got sick, you know? So my family already wouldn't go to their house when we were sick, obviously, because you don't want to get frail elderly people sick. But, you know, now with this COVID, you know, not knowing if I was ever an asymptomatic carrier really bugged me. So I had avoided them for most of the pandemic. So I hadn't seen my grandparents in like 8 months. And they're 92 and 93, they're not going to be around forever. So to me, it was heartbreaking to think, well, what if something happens to them while this is going on and I don't get to see them that one last time? Like, that would be crushing, you know? So that was definitely the best thing about having it done, was being able to see them and not being afraid of like bringing them anything and sit down and have lunch with them.
That's, yeah. Both of my grandparents got it as well. Okay. So yeah, nice. I know the feeling of not being able to, you didn't know what was going to happen. Definitely. Yeah. So this is kind of similar to a question I had asked earlier, but a little bit more directly. Knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently? As far as, I mean, you said you felt pretty prepared, always having the Lysol, we'll always be having the Lysol. Are you worried about a toilet paper shortage again?
Realizing how panicked people got and how like the hoarder instinct kicked in, I think I'll definitely always keep a little more toilet paper in my home. Like I said, a little bit more Lysol. So definitely being extra prepared, because I did find holes in my preparedness that I didn't anticipate. You know, we did run low on Lysol and toilet paper. And so that's something that I would definitely want to make amends for. Probably keeping a stocked freezer too of meats. You know, there was a bit of a run on meat for a little while there too, I remember. And I remember being glad that I had started stockpiling meat already in my freezer. So I was like, we're good to go for at least a month or two, you know. And plus I had started looking into different alternative ways to get protein, you know, like from quinoa. So I was kind of stocking up on quinoa while everyone else was panic buying like meats and whatnot, because quinoa holds a lot longer than meat and is the perfect vegetable protein. So I think looking into alternative sources, like bulk items of like rice and grains and that kind of thing, would definitely be something I would do differently now that I've experienced that. Probably writing out like some prepared preppers recipes, I guess, to use some of the like stuff with to make it better. Like if we do have to live and sustain off this stuff.
Now you had mentioned that you were a little, you were already a little bit of a prepper, like you have the bug out bags and stuff like that. Do you think part of that, having the little bit, I know a little bit of like the military exposure and some of that kind of stuff, like just being prepared, do you think that helped give you a sense of ease through it, like, or at least a little bit of like a security blanket throughout it, like that being a little bit prepared?
Definitely. I brought, I have an extra can of gas. I have bug out bags for each, me and the kids. And then we have a huge Tupperware container full of non-perishables and lots of gallons of water. And so just knowing that we're kind of sitting on that stockpile where if we need to hunker down, if things go completely bonkers outside and we can't leave the house for weeks on end, we would be completely comfortable. You know, or if we need to use that can of gas, if the gas stations are having a run on gas, we need to get out of town and go to like their grandparents' house in the country, we could do that, you know, without having to stop. We could, you know, put gas in the car that I already have, and we could make it with food and water we already have. You know, we wouldn't have to stop anywhere. We could just hit the freeway and go. And so that definitely gave me a security blanket, for sure. Yeah.
Was there any time during that, like even like beforehand, because I know from personal experience or from people close to me that that have a little bit of the prepper mentality, that they got, you know, you got there's a stigma that kind of goes with it. Did you ever encounter that where people like before had kind of maybe given you a hard time for it, but then during this pandemic, you were kind of like, yeah, that's okay, but I have water.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, my kids thought I was nuts when I purchased the gas masks for us. And then we started seeing the news where people were wearing gas masks to the grocery store, you know, and they just kind of looked over at me like, how did you know, Mom? You know, like, what made you think to do that? You know, like, and this was even before COVID was in the U.S. I ordered us the gas masks. Because, you know, I just figured it's only a matter of time before some shit hits the fan. Might as well be prepared, and they weren't that expensive. So, yeah, I was glad we had them, should, you know, need be. Plus, I had also been hoarding N95 masks, because every year I have to do what's called fit testing in healthcare, and that's where they test us for the TB masks, which are the N95 masks. So all we do is we go to the, not human resources, what is it? It's like a health and wellness center for employees. And a nurse gives you the fit test, and then you throw your N95 mask away after just having it on your face for 5 minutes. So I saved them. For years, I had like a stock of them, you know, of really perfectly fine masks. So we were using N95 masks from the jump, you know, and then there was a big shortage. People were buying them all up and selling them for ridiculous prices. And even healthcare workers couldn't get their hands on them at work and were having to reuse them. So I was really grateful that, you know, again, my prepper mentality got me to save those things. So, yeah. And there were friends of mine that were like completely running out of things and freaking out. People that, you know, like you said, had totally laughed at me when I told them, yeah, I'm a little bit of a prepper. And they're like, okay, Jess, you're nuts. Because all they think about when you say I'm a bit of a doomsday prepper is those crazy people on the TV shows that are just idiots and make us all look like morons that are paranoid and anti-government. No, it's quite the opposite.
that's really interesting. I didn't even like, I hadn't thought about that, because growing up, I was always taught to, especially your comment about like the gas. I found that really interesting, because I have always been taught never to let my gas tank go below half a tank. Yeah, if at all possible, because even if there is an issue, depending on your vehicle, on 150 miles worth of gas, you'd be able to get to the North Woods at least.
Right.
Like, yeah. different things like that, that
seem like common sense to you. And I know plenty of people that routinely are running on E and running out of gas. Like you said, I never let it get below, mine is a quarter tank. I'll never let it get below a quarter tank, but half tank is even a safer bet for sure.
Oh, I mean, I definitely let it get to E sometimes, but that's one of those things like growing up, like little things that you were taught. And
yeah.
The other thing, like having like the bug out bags, like you said, which I'm interested to know what you guys kind of had in yours that you found beneficial throughout this, but having even things for like just winter in Wisconsin that people don't even necessarily do that anymore. Having a candle, having a Snickers, having something to melt the snow with, having a shovel, having a blanket, an extra blanket, extra pair of socks, you know, just like you said, like to certain people, that's just kind of a common sense. Like it's like the pre bug out bag. It was just like the prepared bag before it was right. A snazzy name. It was just your winter survival bag for Wisconsin.
Yeah. So many people don't do that anymore. You're right.
So I think that's an interesting, I don't know. That's just really interesting. The fact that we have become, what does that say about our society, that we are so used to having everything at our fingertips that the idea of, like you said, not being like the crazy people who like dig a hole in the woods and live out there, but like just having a couple gallons of water, or, you know, even, I mean, that's things that we were taught in school for like tornadoes,
yeah. Right.
Like emergencies, like you plug the tub, you fill it with drinking water in case the power goes out. So you have drinking water.
Yeah.
If there's like stuff like that. So that's an interesting.
Yeah. What are you doing? Shut the door. Come in.
Is there anything that I didn't ask about that I should have, or anything that you think would be as far as pandemic related or
I don't think so. I mean, I guess working in healthcare after I finally did have my surgery and was able to return to work, I returned to like a drastically altered scene at work, you know, coming in every day, getting my temperature checked. You know, they have an app on our phones. They want us to be communicating with before we come in.
That's dumb.
We had to wear a mask outside in the parking lot, or if you were caught by security without a mask on, you could get fired. So they really took the mask mandate very seriously at Freightert. And, you know, like the break room was, you know, suddenly half the chairs and, you know, how are you socially distancing in surgery? You know, like, I mean, so there was a lot of weird things. There was doctors finally wearing N95 masks over their surgical masks. So like some of us were wearing two masks and, you know, and we had to like deep clean surgical rooms if the patient, we weren't sure about their COVID testing, because this was like, I came back right before they mandated COVID testing pre-op. And so it was just different. You know, my experience working in healthcare during the pandemic was definitely different than all my other years of working in healthcare, for sure. And it's still different. You know, the landscape has changed really about how we organize things, you know, how we're functioning. So that was different.
Do you think healthcare has, specifically, like you said, because you're in like a surgical unit, that healthcare has changed and will not be changing back to like how it was before? Do you think this has like changed healthcare moving forward?
I do. And I think it's probably for the best. I think it's made a lot of people in the public more aware of the importance of healthcare workers and, you know, adhering to things that we've all already been adhering to, you know, like isolation precautions, contact precautions. Those are all standard things that are taught in healthcare that, you know, the lay public doesn't really understand. Like the whole cross-contamination thing, like that's kind of big, you know, they were talking about that in the news and most people had never heard that or understood that concept of like, okay, look, there's no point in having gloves on in the grocery store if you're going to be talking on your cell phone and touching your face like you're an idiot. So I think there's definitely things the public has come to understand, and definitely there's, you know, it's sharpened healthcare workers' skills as far as like triaging. And it's kind of brought it home to us because there were a lot of healthcare workers too that, you know, were complacent in the seriousness of their job. And I think this pandemic made them realize that we are, you know, the last resort for a situation like this. You know, we're the people that are going to make or break a community if, you know, if we handle the situation to the best of our abilities. So I think that kind of empowered a lot of healthcare workers, frontline workers that are like, you know, hey, this really is an important aspect of my job that I often don't think about.
How do you feel about, as a healthcare worker being called a hero?
I mean, I've felt like a hero in certain situations when I worked in the ER, when like, I was doing CPR on someone and then they lived, you know, like definitely felt heroic in that moment. But I think the vast majority of us saying, you know, all those signs saying heroes work here and whatnot, it's like silly because, you know, I don't feel heroic. I don't like go to work every day like I'm a hero. You know, no, you can take care of your like, I don't want to
waste it.
I don't want to eat your leftover mac
and cheese.
Drink a glass of water, please. Okay. So I think it's nice. It's a nice gesture to make everybody that's been having to work through this pandemic when other people, you know, were considered non-essential or whatever. But I think it might have been a little silly. You know, especially there's been a lot of funny like healthcare things that I've seen like memes and pick that up. Max, my mic is on. Would you knock it off? Stop talking. Where's stop making ridiculous sounds. We'll clean it up. Where was I?
Memes.
Oh yeah, just about how we're heroes, huh? It's funny how they recognized that we were essential workers and heroes, but they didn't recognize that we needed a pay raise.
Yeah. Oh, there's a question that I wanted to ask. As a healthcare worker, with all of that going on, and then with the with people that were deemed non-essential workers, but that people that were taking not workman's comp, why can't I think of unemployment and making more?
Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
I think it definitely irked my coworkers a lot more than me, because when it first was big and everyone was getting that huge amount of extra money, I was still off of work. I went back, and not long after that, they were like dwindling those big, huge payments out. So I guess I did think about it at one point, like, boy, that sucks. Here I work in healthcare. I have a healthcare issue and I can't get long-term unemployment, making only 50% of my wages to support my family. But had I been fired from my job, I would have been making a lot more, you know, had they let me go because I wasn't able to return to work. So that was kind of a kick in the teeth, I guess, you know, that the thought that had I been let go, I could have qualified for those huge payments, you know, and I would have been making a lot more money and not been so financially strapped. But it worked out for me that I was able to find like some rental assistance programs. There was a huge COVID relief fund. I don't know if you got were able to get money from UWM too, but they had like a COVID relief for students. And
I was going to ask you, yeah, because you'd mentioned that. I was going to ask you about that. What was that? You had, I know you said it was there was a grant. And that there was a couple, like, what were some of the programs through UWM that you said you had found?
Well, UWM had the, what was it called? Basically just the COVID relief fund for students. And if COVID at all impacted your finances or your housing or your food or whatever, you qualified. And they didn't ask a lot of questions. They didn't need receipts or proof or anything. It was just like a real quick questionnaire, and if you know qualified, then they direct deposited a check to you for $1,100. So that was huge, and that came at a perfect time when I was like really strapped. Then there was another program, it was Wisconsin Housing or Milwaukee Housing something, but it was a rental assistance program. Oh, it was RAP. It was called Wisconsin Rental Assistance Program. And they just had gotten a huge COVID grant from the federal government to keep people from getting evicted. So because I wasn't working and I have two kids at home, I qualified for the program and they paid my rent for a couple of those months when I wasn't working and wasn't receiving any income. So that was a lifesaver. So I definitely did some research, you know, heard through the grapevine about different programs and was able to kind of keep our head above water. But I'm still just finally caught up financially from being off work for that long. That was scary times and, you know, for everybody. I guess I was luckier than a lot of people, I think. So.
Is that Gus? That's the dog.
Yeah. Gus is fighting with his new brother. Can you see them?
Gus.
Next got a yellow lab puppy. So I think, yeah, overall, we made it through pretty unscathed. And it ended up working out well for my daughter, too. She knew a guy, but they started dating and they're very in love. And I do see wedding bells for them. So I think he might be my future son-in-law. And it's really cute to watch her have that level of a relationship. And I think being in this COVID bubble and spending time with limited amounts of people has kind of helped foster that relationship for them. because there's nothing to do and no one to go see, they spent more time together bonding and talking and growing together. So that was kind of beautiful to watch.
Is there, so kind of for like a last question to want to wrap it up for you, I don't want to keep you too much longer on that. With communication, like you said, like with them having the COVID bubble, is there, have you noticed that you have been more intentional with your relationships, particular during COVID, as far as like, yes, we have more time, but there is maybe a little bit more effort that kind of goes into maintaining those relationships?
Definitely.
That's something that you've noticed, or different relationships that you've maybe fostered some?
For sure. I've been making more phone calls to, you know, a handful of girlfriends that normally I would just like catch up with in person, you know, or Facebook laugh at their posts or whatever, you know. Now I'm kind of making that more of an effort to make those phone calls, and definitely making more intentions and efforts with my kids and my mom, and realizing the importance, you know, of, like you said, the little things and those intimate relationships you do have. And, you know, I personally don't know anybody that died from COVID, thankfully, but hearing, you know, all these tragic stories of young people dying and people losing multiple family members, you know, that's heartbreaking. And I would be devastated if that happened to my family and my close friends. So knowing that, you know, now is the best time to avoid that guilt, you know, by fixing that so that you don't have to feel bad later when you realize something happened and you weren't keeping in touch with people, you know. So yeah, it's definitely brought me closer to the really intimate relationships that I want to keep together, for sure. And reaching out to other people too, you know, like that, like you guys going camping with you guys, you know, like that was kind of, yeah, I mean, it was during COVID. So, you know, it could have been, you know, a time, Jesus, sorry, my kid's burping in the background. But yeah, it's changed a lot of things, I think, for a lot of people, and hopefully for the better. You know, that's the only real benefit you can get from the situation, is try to do things better and try to focus on the positive that did come from it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree on that.
No bubble.
I just want to say thank you for being willing to be part of this oral history project, and you will be in the archives at UW-Milwaukee going forward. Your interview will be part of the COVID archive, the MKE-19 archive. So that'll be kind of fun, that if you need something for school, you can always check it out on the archive, because you'll be there.
Awesome. Thanks, lady. Thanks for asking me to do this.
So no problem. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording now. So thank you.